Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Landon Gibbs, and I'm a student at Murray State University. I'm an undergraduate student this year, finishing up my last year at Murray State in horticulture and agronomy. And today I'll be using my research from the past 3 years that I'll be developing into my thesis this spring, is dynamics of soil infiltration rates in various agroecosystems. So to begin, we're all aware of the pressing issues that are facing us in agriculture today. Obviously, as population continues to grow and the amount of producible land continues to decrease. But one of the major reasons, as opposed to population and development and housing, obviously is erosion for land control. And in order to prevent erosion, my project is focusing on infiltration rates, how we can better capture that water, reduce those infiltration rates, reduce the amount of runoff carrying those soil particles off of the land, and continue to conserve that land and that water so it can be used productively. Obviously, soil is the basis of life, providing the medium for plant growth. Soil properties, such as soil texture, structure, density, water holding capacity, all of these are important to erosion, crop health, land management, and obviously conservation practices. Soil fertility also greatly influences crop health, obviously, but today I'll be focusing more on those physical properties concerning infiltration rates and soil erosion. The objectives of the study were to measure infiltration rates in 6 agroecosystems in Murray, Kentucky, to illustrate infiltration rate in relation to temporal variability. So I began this project in 2013, and I continued measuring those infiltration rates across different seasons to see if there was any kind of a difference between the infiltration rates from spring to summer and from summer to fall, and to determine the contribution of soil organic carbon, aggregation, bulk density, and porosity, so those physical properties that I previously mentioned, in relation to those infiltration rates. Just a quick overview. A lot of us are familiar with these terms, but macroaggregates obviously are those clusters or clumps of soil particles, so your sand, silt, and clay, and that particular structure, such as a prism or a block in that soil profile. The macroaggregates are held together by organic matter. So in this study, you'll see some of my data is the organic carbon, which is the best data that I've collected in this study, and that macroaggregate is directly related to those organic carbon contents, because the more organic matter you have, typically the most macroaggregation you're going to have as well. Porosity is the amount of pore space. Obviously, the more pore space you have, the higher the infiltration rates you're going to have in your soil profile. And bulk density is the mass divided by the soil volume. Previous studies indicate that soil infiltration rates are affected by soil physical properties, obviously, such as soil distribution, particle size, bulk density, and porosity. A study like this has not been done at Murray State University, though, which is the reasoning behind why I really wanted to take this approach at Murray State. We've had these agricultural fields in use for 50 plus years, and nobody's really examined that infiltration rate in those fields. There's a lot of erosion in our tobacco and soybean fields. There's a lot of gullies, and we're having a little bit of issues with compactions in some of those fields. So I really wanted to measure these infiltration rates, see if there were ways we can improve that, and really use that water efficiently and slow down that erosion that we're experiencing. I've already covered this. So the impact I've already covered a little bit, but that intensive cultivation and farming practices that we've been using there at Murray State University has really affected that structure of our soil that we've had on our agricultural land. So with this study, I'm hoping that possibly some of the agronomy students at Murray State can use some of this information and really change the way they're planting and producing on our fields back at Murray State. So our study sites are located at the university farm complexes. There were four land management systems at the Pullen Farm Complex and 2 at the West Farm Complex, which the coordinates are listed there. So those 6 management systems, those agroecosystems, were an organic vegetable farm, which is about 2 acres of vegetable farming at the Pullen Farm Complex. That organic farm is receiving compost from the University Dining Services. They're adding compost about once every month, and they're constantly tilling that into that upper 6 to 7 inches of that soil. There's a conventional tillage tobacco field, conventional tillage soybean field, a grassland prairie that has been a grassland prairie for about 5 to 7 years, and a wooded system that hasn't been touched for probably 20 plus years. I used a single ring infiltrometer with 3 replications at each site, and each replication was repeated 3 times in randomized locations. So I took 9 readings with that infiltrometer at each of my locations. As I mentioned before, readings were taken in the spring of 2013 and the summer and fall of 2014. This is just an image of the infiltrometer that I was using. So soil samples were harvested to determine organic carbon, macro aggregates, and water content. And those were composite samples that I used, made up 4 samplings to form the composite samples. Just an illustration of this. I was only focusing on the first 4 to 6 inches of the soil profile because when we're talking about infiltration rate, we're obviously only talking about the surface of when that water is going down in that soil profile. So I took composite samplings, mixed them in the bucket, and then took 3 samples from each location. The organic carbon I determined using the muffle furnace at 500 degrees Celsius. And I duplicated each of those samples, so I had 36 organic carbon samples. And then macro aggregates were determined using the wet sieve method. This is just an image of my samples ready to go in the muffle furnace. So bulk density was measured by taking my core samples, and I dried them at 105 degrees Celsius. And then the core samples were also used for my porosity measurements when I'm looking at those. This is just another illustration showing you porosity. The more pore spaces, obviously, you're going to get the more infiltration. And then an example of my core collecting. So moving on to the results. Just an overview of the properties that we're looking at. Again, the main one is our infiltration rate, and then relating that to our soil organic carbon, our macro aggregate content, the porosity, and our bulk density. This is a graph of that temporal variability that I was showing you. I figured my hypothesis really was we would get a higher infiltration rate probably in the spring and summer, and then once we started to cool down in the fall, a lot of that water would start to go into that surface soil a lot slower, or a little bit more slowly. But there was no statistical difference between these seasons. You can see it, several of them, there was a slightly higher infiltration rate in the summer, but there really was not a whole lot of consistency across this. Here's our overall average infiltration rate. You can see that the wooded system and that organic farm had a much higher infiltration rate than any of our other land management systems at the complexes. Those conventional tillage soybean and conventional tillage tobacco fields had extremely, extremely low infiltration rates. And then the organic farming system, as I mentioned before, it's receiving constant compost from that from the dining services. And so in that surface of that soil, there's a lot of that organic compost that's really taking that water in. Here's our soil organic carbon. In that organic farming vegetable system, we have a very high amount of soil organic carbon because of that compost. And then from the leaf litter in that wooded system, that's our second highest organic carbon. But you can see when we go back to this average infiltration rate, we have a slightly average higher in the wooded system. And I think that's due to when they're tilling in that compost in that organic farming system, they're tilling it in almost every month. And I think they've created a little bit of a frangipane in that surface soil. And when that water goes down in my further replications as I was doing this, that rate of infiltration really slowed down a lot. So reflecting back on that soil organic carbon, that organic matter is improving the binding of the soil particles and those macro aggregates, and that's why that infiltration rate is obviously increasing. Here's our macro aggregate information. Highest once again in the organic farm, second highest in the wooded system, and then the others are subsequent and follow. Macro porosity, once again, higher in the woods in the organic system, and then lower in the subsequent ones. And then our bulk density, which is what we were looking for, is lowest in those two systems that really had those really high infiltration rates, and then we go up from there. So, in conclusion, the organic farm and the wooded system had the highest infiltration rates, and they also had the lowest bug densities. The infiltration rates of the organic farm were nearly 55% higher than that of the conventional tillage tobacco, which was the lowest. As far as my R-squared values between my soil organic carbon and my infiltration rate, we had a value of 0.99, so that direct correlation between that soil organic carbon and that infiltration rate was really high. So when I'm explaining this to a lot of my peers at Murray State that are working on those farms, I tell them that they really need to work on incorporating that soil organic carbon, some more organic matter into those systems to increase that infiltration rate, and over time really help with that soil structure. So the study signifies the importance of maintaining that soil organic carbon and your macro aggregates to reduce the runoff and compaction in agricultural fields. And with better management and monitoring of soil organic carbon and soil structure, those subsequent physical properties like macro aggregates and porosity, which those will follow once you increase that soil organic carbon, your infiltration rate can be improved and runoff can be reduced. For future studies, I'd like to replicate this, utilizing a larger sample size probably, and perhaps a double ring infiltrometer just to see what kinds of differences I can get in my readings. Here are my references. And I would like to thank the Hudson School of Agriculture, the Office of Research and Scholarly Activity on MSU's campus, and the Murray State Honors College for helping to fund my travel. Are there any questions?
We have time for a few questions.
Yes.
So maybe I missed it. What was the composition of the plants in the prairie?
So those were a mix of native grasses. The way the prairie is on Murray State's campus, we have the Pullen Farm Complex, which is where the greenhouse is located, and the prairie is managed by our greenhouse manager. The way they did it is they seeded with some natural grasses and then they let it grow up naturally for a few years, and the way they manage it is they just mow it down once every few months and then they let it grow up again. So it's just natural growing prairie grasses there.
So it's not a native undisturbed?
No, it's been a prairie land for about 7 years. There's been pedestrian walk on it before, but there was some pedestrian walk on it before, which when you look at the data you can see that it has a little bit lower infiltration rates as opposed to what you would expect to see from a completely undisturbed prairie land. Yes?
Sorry, I wasn't here from the start. How long was it continuous no-till corn?
That no-till corn has been under that management for about 15 years probably. That's actually where we host our Fall on the Farm event at Murray State. So in a portion of that field, there's a corn maze, but that wasn't where my readings were taken. So they do, for the whole thing, they do no-till, and the portion where my readings were taken was away from that area. But that's why it's been under no-till for such a long time. Yes? Yes, so since this is all, we're focusing on that surface of the soil, that first 4 to 6 inches, even though they may have been different series, they're all silt loam textures on the top because they're all on that surface, and they're all within 3 miles of each other, so they're all silt loam textural classes on the top soil. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have seen nice differences there as well. In select soil progresses, I guess there's an opportunity to look at like water retention, you know, process distribution in more detail. You know, to call it like the water infiltration problem. Yeah, that
yes.
Way you can film it, I guess that's a good way to eliminate lateral flow and things like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What would be your recommendation in terms of we have this corn no till system, right? The continuous corn, you said?
Yeah, it is continuous corn, yeah.
Yeah, and there's no tills. There's still, you know, grower, you know, in terms of
for that specific system?
Yep.
Well, when we're getting into that specific system, due to the restrictions at Murray State, because they're using that both for educational opportunities when they're teaching for the classes, but then they're also using it for recreational in one half of the field. It has to stay under that continuous corn rotation with no-till. But as far as if they had things that they could do, I would recommend some kind of rotation. Possibly it may even be better to get in there and do some kind of tillage since it's been under that no-till for so long, and then getting some more organic carbon into that, some organic matter.
Okay.
Thank you.